From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Pittsburgh, California.
Oh, I'm not from the Bay Area.
Pinole, California.
Coming up, we'll look at a controversy surrounding a new morality clause for teachers in Oakland's Catholic diocese.
I don't think employees should have to be operating under a contract that purports to take away their civil rights.
Then we'll have a conversation about how to address child sex trafficking with activist and filmmaker Sherry Schuster.
The girls that were being trafficked, they didn't have one person in their lives who was making sure that they were protected and safe.
And we reveal the answer to this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound.
These are all sounds that you could actually, in reality, hear here. And it's just to tune in your sensitivity to the environment.
It's all on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Pope Francis has famously said about homosexuality, "Who am I to judge?" Despite his progressive words, the Roman Catholic Church doesn't exactly embrace the cause of same-sex marriage. Just this morning, protesters converged on Washington for the second annual March for Marriage, a rally in support of so-called traditional marriage. Among the keynote speakers, San Francisco's Catholic Archbishop Salvatore Cardiglione. Here he is at last year's march.
I want to say to the 9 justices on the Supreme Court, I say, please, for the sake of the children, please preserve the meaning of marriage in the law, a meaning common to every human society since the beginning of human race.
And in Oakland, Bishop Michael Barber has stepped into his own sea of controversy over the Catholic Church's relationship with same-sex marriage. This spring, Barber added a new morality clause to teacher contracts. It says educators in the Oakland diocese must adhere to Catholic doctrine in their private lives, not just in the classroom. Some teachers, parents, and students feel the new contract language is a violation of teachers' personal rights. And one high school, Bishop O'Dowd in the Oakland Hills, is pushing back. KALW's Sandhya Dirks has the story.
Hi, this is Sandhya. I'm here, only I'm not exactly sure how to get in.
I've come to visit Maggie Cook in her Oakland home.
So I thought we'd sit outside if you want.
Perfect.
That'd be great.
Not at all.
Would you like a glass of water or something?
Cook is the parent of 2 juniors, twins at Bishop O'Dowd High School. She first realized that something was up when her kids made a casual comment just a few weeks before the end of the school year.
One of them just mentioned from the back seat that there was a new contract that the teachers were asked to sign and that a lot of them are not very happy about it. And I said, what's it about? And they said, I don't think it's anything. It's about, you know, just being a good teacher or being a good role model or whatever. And I went, oh, okay.
But it worried Cook, and she wasn't the only one.
It was that evening, I think, that another parent wrote and said, have you heard about this new morality clause? And so I finally looked it up, I found it.
And here's what it said.
In both the employee's personal and professional life, employee is expected to model and promote behavior in conformity with the teaching of the Roman Catholic faith.
And when I saw that it said both in their professional life, their teaching, and in their personal life, and I said, wait a second.
18% of the teachers in the Oakland diocese aren't Catholic, but the new contract basically holds them to the same moral and legal standards as ministers. That's according to Berkeley Law professor Melissa Murray.
The First Amendment protects freedom of religion and the free exercise of religion, and the U.S. Supreme Court has interpreted from the text of the First Amendment what is known as a ministerial exception.
Federal civil rights law prohibits employment discrimination based on race, color, sex, national origin, and religion. But the ministerial exception says if you're a church or religious school, you're allowed to elevate any employee to the position of minister, which means you can fire them for religious reasons, even if it violates their other civil rights. Murray says that doesn't mean the new contract language will be used by school principals or the bishop to single out gay teachers. It just means it could be.
This can always be used as sort of a back pocket way. Well, you've not been in compliance with church teaching. So, I mean, it's always sort of there, I guess, as, you know, kind of like a shadow over their employment.
And that is exactly what worries former Bishop O'Dowd teacher Kathleen Purcell.
The bishop says, I'm not going to fire anybody. And I take him at his word. But he's not going to be bishop forever. And he may change his mind. And I don't think employees should have to be operating under a contract that purports to take away their civil rights and just operate on trust.
Purcell was let go after refusing to sign the new contract. She says it's not that she's afraid of being targeted. It's a matter of principle. Before teaching U.S. history at O'Dowd, Purcell was a civil rights lawyer.
Being a Catholic school is not a license to discriminate. And these are contentious issues in the church. And what this contract language does is to place employees' personal lives in the middle of that fight. And that's cruel. That's just cruel.
But the fight going on in dioceses like Oakland isn't just about the growing divide between Catholic doctrine and changing social mores. It's also about a clash between two fundamental tenets of the First Amendment, civil rights and religious freedom. Oakland Diocese spokesman Mike Brown says the Catholic Church has every right to stay true to its moral compass, even if teachers and students at Catholic schools are increasingly not Catholic.
So as that demographic changes, does the culture of the school change in any way? Not pointing a finger at anybody or anything, but are they as Catholic as they were founded to be 150 or 200 years ago? And so bishops worry about stuff like that.
This isn't discrimination, Brown says. It's just reinforcing the Catholic doctrine that already exists.
The Catholic Church is not against gays. It can't support marriage between two same-sex people because its theology is based on what Christ gave to us in the teachings on marriage.
Besides, Brown says, most teachers did sign the contract. In the end, out of about 2,000 educators in the Oakland Diocese, only three teachers, all from O'Dowd, were let go.
Well, Riley's here. Riley's going to be a senior. I can see if he's here.
If he's here, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Back at parent Maggie Cook's house, she fetches her 17-year-old son, Riley. Like any self-respecting teenager, he's up in his room. Riley says he loves O'Dowd, but he's worried about his teachers. He knows that some of them are gay, and he says the school's charism, its mission, in layman's terms, is precisely about inclusion.
The contract and our charism are clashing with this contract. I just want it to be a place where I just want to go to a school where the teachers feel safe for who they are.
The bishop says he wants that too. He met with teachers and students at two schools, including O'Dowd, at the end of the school year. Many say they were encouraged by the open dialogue. And the bishop says he's considering removing the controversial language from next year's contract. For now, though, it remains unchanged. In Oakland, I'm Sandhya Dirks for Cross Currents.
So what do you think about the new contract for teachers in Oakland's Catholic diocese? Is it discrimination or exercise of religious freedom? Let us know on our tip line. It's 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. If you drive on the 880 in Oakland, you may have seen billboards that say teens are not prostitutes, they are rape victims. That's the message Oakland activist Sherry Schuster is passionate about spreading. She's been advocating against the sex trafficking of youth for more than a decade. Her new film, Child Sex Trafficking, A Story About Love, exposes and explores the world of trafficking girls in Oakland through the story and activism of trafficking survivor Leah Albright Bird.
Father, thank you so much for your love and your commitment to being a God of justice. Send us the girls you want us to talk to. Send us the community members you want us to talk to, Father. Help us to show love and not judgment.
Filmmaker Sherry Schuster says these girls shouldn't be called prostitutes. They are child sex slaves and have many complex issues that need to be addressed. Schuster came by our studios, and I asked her to explain how a film about child sex trafficking can also be about love.
Most of these girls are coming from broken homes with domestic violence. 90% of the girls who are being trafficked have a history of previous sexual abuse. Over 50% of these girls are coming out of Child Protective Services and foster care. But at the core, I asked myself, you know, like, why is this happening? You know, what's going on with these girls in addition to all of these sort of macro factors? And ultimately, like, the girls that were being trafficked, they didn't have one single adult looking out for them. They didn't have one person in their lives who was making sure that they were protected and safe. And most of these girls and boys are learning at a young age that love comes at a cost. They're learning in the home that this false love also is coming with violence and sexual abuse and extreme neglect. And so the reason why it became a story about love is because it was really the lack of love that made children vulnerable to being recruited into the commercial sex industry.
How widespread is this problem of child sex trafficking here in the Bay Area?
The Bay Area was designated by the FBI as one of the top 13 high-density regions for sex trafficking in the nation. So in California, it's one of the top three.
You know, when we think of trafficking in general, we think of, you know, smuggling in people from other countries somehow that don't know where they're going. But it's really more than that, isn't it?
Yeah. For girls under the age of 18, they can't even legally consent to having sex. So the definition for trafficking does not have to be somebody who's being literally physically moved across city or state or county lines. It's basically, for a minor, it's somebody who is being sold for sex for another person's profit.
How do you think people should even start a conversation on this? Because on the one hand, it seems really obvious. These are children. They're being exploited. But on the other hand, there's this acceptance of this idea that, no, you know, they're, you know, almost treated like young adults. They know what they're doing. Look at how they're dressed. And that part of the conversation, how do you bridge those two?
A lot of people ask the question, like, well, isn't it their choice? You know, most upper middle class parents won't even let their 16-year-old daughter decide what she's going to wear to her prom. But we're saying that it's okay for a 16-year-old girl to choose to be bought and sold by men that are three times her age for sex 10 times a day. Like, I don't, that doesn't equate for me.
So let's talk about the film then. And Leah is the main character. Leah?
Her name is Leah Albright Bird. She's the executive director of her own organization called Bridget's Dream. She was exploited from the ages of 14 to 18. She was sold all over the internet and on the streets of San Francisco. When she was 18, she was able to escape the life. And, you know, she went through years of, like, trauma and therapy and recovery. And, you know, during her time while she was being exploited, she had a friend that she brought into the ring of girls that she was being trafficked with. And, you know, ultimately the story has like a best case and a worst case narrative. And the worst case narrative is what happened to her friend Bridget, who was murdered on her 22nd birthday and left for naked and dead in the hallway of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. She was strangled to death by somebody who was purchasing her.
But Leah lived.
Leah lived, and she's tried to make sense and meaning out of her own pain and out of her own tragedy in life.
Did she like immediately leave the trade after that? How do you leave a system like this?
I think it's a process. You know, just like the average amount of time it takes for an adult woman to leave a batterer is 7, and I think that we have to look at that and then sort of compare that with what it takes for a child who has no marketable skills probably hasn't even finished a high school education, has no family, no support system, and then on top of that is struggling with self-esteem issues and identity issues, and has been basically brainwashed into thinking that this is all they're valuable for, is just their body, and that's all they have that's worth anything in life. So I would say that, you know, it takes a lot of patience, and it is a process. You know, this whole concept of girls being rescued and snatched off, you know, by the cops and then living happily ever after, that's not what happens. Mm. It's really, it is a process. And just like, you know, the reason why the film is called A Story About Love is because I really feel like it's the broken hearts and the lack of love that leave children vulnerable to being exploited. Mm. And on the other end of that, love is also the way out. And it's the love of peers. It's the love of mentors. It's the love of community. It's the love of sometimes God for women of faith like Leah, that will really help in their recovery and restoration process.
Find more information at KALW.org. Click on Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. All week long on KALW, we've been playing you this sound.
These are all sounds that you could actually, in reality, hear here. And it's just to tune in your sensitivity to the environment around you.
We asked what you think it is and where in the Bay Area it's from. KALW's Martina Castro brings us the answer.
The corner of Columbus and Lombard has got to be the noisiest corner in all of San Francisco. I'm hearing the cable car go by right now. There are buses full of tourists, cars, and people walking by. But if you listen really closely, you can also hear sea lions in the distance, church bells, the parrots of Telegraph Hill, and even the voice of Lawrence Ferlinghetti. That's because I'm standing under the awning of the new North Beach Library branch. It's the site of sound artist Bill Fontana's newest installation. It's called Sonic Dreamscape. It's an homage to the sounds of North Beach, but you really, really have to listen for them.
The volume level is subtle. It's not designed to overwhelm the sound on the street, but rather to kind of merge in and out of it, so that if a very loud truck or cable car or bus goes by, the sound sculpture pretty much disappears.
Fontana is an artist known around the world for his sound work, but this piece is close to home. He created it with recordings he's been collecting over the 16 years he's lived in this neighborhood, just two blocks from the library.
Now we have a fairly intense moment. And this, you know, and you're hearing some sounds from a cafe. That band that softly went by is the Green Street Marching Band. You may hear a fragment of Lawrence Ferlinghetti. These are all sounds that you could actually, in reality, hear here.
Michelle Jeffers lived in North Beach 20 years ago, and she distinctly remembers these sounds from her morning strolls.
Shopkeepers, like, opening up their shops on Grant Avenue and saying hi and just being speaking in Italian to each other in the sort of the old welcoming neighborhood.
Jeffers works with the San Francisco Public Library, which teamed up with the Arts Commission to bring Sonic Dreamscape here. The North Beach Library is in a new building, and Jeffers says it serves a special purpose.
This is one of the most densest neighborhoods in the country, and we looked at that when we were building this to make sure that we were providing a place that people could come, because many people, you know, need that space, that additional space, which the library becomes an additional living room for them.
Sonic Dreamscape will be the soundtrack of that living room for years to come. The installation is a permanent part of the building. But Bill Fontana says it will change as the street sounds around it evolve.
Because more and more electric cars and hybrid vehicles are going to be on the streets, and a lot of the really noisy sound elements of traffic are going to sort of become much quieter. So actually, over time, this work will become more audible.
That's the hope, right?
Yeah.
And do you think you're in some way preserving certain sounds? Like, are there any sounds that you think you will disappear?
I hope not. I mean, I think because San Francisco is going through such gentrification and, you know, and some neighborhoods are sort of starting to lose their character, like Valencia Street. I hope that doesn't happen to North Beach.
Really pass over.
Fontana says these sounds represent a way of life, and that is what he truly hopes to preserve. There's a way of life I'd like to preserve, and it's the one I've experienced here at Cross Currents. After almost 6 years working here, I can most certainly say this is my family and my radio home. As I get ready to move to Uruguay for my Fulbright grant, it's hard to encapsulate in words what these years have been for me. So I'm going to do it in sound. Here's just a little taste and my own sound sculpture of my time at KALW.
This is the Audiophiles.
You hear that?
Can you hear me?
Dogs.
Dogs!
And the dogs are separate from the bitches.
Is that a technical term?
Have you been upstairs?
No.
There is something amazing.
Let's go.
Upstairs that I think is going to be, it's going to blow your mind.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
It was like entering audio recording heaven.
What happens over the course of a couple of minutes is that you start to actually listen with your body.
I think that my goal is to have the audience experience it like I do. I don't know what that means, but I'm always trying to go there and trying to figure it out.
We're dying. We're dropping like flies. This is a 911. This is an emergency.
It's really about rebuilding trust so that all people can dial 911 and know they will get help.
And my guest this time is the managing editor of KALW News, Martina Castro. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Okay, here it goes. 3, 2, 1. Hi, I'm Jad Abumrad. This show is produced by Martina Castro.
Yeah. Miss Martina Castro, turn me up when you feel low. This melody was meant for you. To sing along to my stereo. Oh, 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 to my stereo. Oh, oh, Castro. To sing along to my stereo.
For Cross Currents, I'm Martina Castro.
Thank you, Martina. We know this was a hard one to guess, but we have a winner. Congratulations, Stuart Davidson. We're going to send you a KALW t-shirt. For the rest of you, we'll be bringing you some of our very favorite Bay Area sounds next Thursday in a special Audiograph edition of Cross Currents, so tune in. The Audiograph game is taking a 2-week break, but we'll be back with more Sonic Riddles in mid-July. In the meantime, if you have ideas for where we could record next, give us a call and tell us. The number is 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. And that's it for today's edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. The team includes Louisa Emmy Beck, Leela Day, Maya DePaula Hanika, Audrey Dilling, Sandhya Dirks, Laura Flynn, Nina Gensler-Debs, Suki Lewis, Christina Loring, Seth Samuel, Julia Scott, Stephen Short, Charlotte Silver, Rachel Vasquez, and Todd Whitney. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Our line producer was Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Our senior producers are Julie Kane and Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Holly Kernan is our news director. Our theme theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And thank you. We are listener-supported radio. Our managing editor is Martina Castro, who we're bidding farewell today as she embarks on her next adventure in life. We will miss you, Martina. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.
Okay, one whisper. 3, 2... Talk show! Oh, I love it! Okay, here we go.